Yeah, it's a wonderful blessing to know, isn't it? There's no other like him. He's our great God and Saviour, and what a treasure he is, and I hope he is to our lives, the greatest treasure that we have. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll start our message for this afternoon. Heavenly Father, we thank you that there is none other God like thee. You are the one true God. We are mindful of that fact, that, Lord, you and you alone are the one we are to worship. You and you alone are the one we are to give glory to. And Father, may we see in your word today that, Lord, that's what you require of us, to be humble before you, Lord, giving you the praise and honor that you deserve. Father, we thank you. What a great God you are. And Lord, we look forward to the day we get to see you face to face. Until then, Lord, keep us faithful and watch over us and give us the grace we need every day, Lord, for every need. We thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking at a few messages on what it means when our lives have been broken. And that's, you know, it's an incredible thing. Brokenness is what God uses to replace our self-life with what he desires for us, for his intentions. Brokenness always ends with blessing. Blessings that are far greater than we could ever discover apart from the Lord breaking us. You know, when we're broken, we grow spiritually. We enjoy that deeper intimacy with our Heavenly Father. You think about our ministry to other people takes on a greater meaning, a more deeper meaning. And brokenness brings a new freedom and strength to our lives. And we begin to understand what the Lord said to us in Romans 8:29, when he said we are to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what brokenness does. You know, in this world today, whenever something broken, what do? We throw it away. We cast it out, treat it as useless or a waste of time. I remember we used to have junk week, and you'd see the stuff all over the place thrown out, TVs, fridges, the whole lot, and there'd be the odd person going around picking it up and cleaning up because they could fix them, but they just throw things away. People consider them broken and useless. And it's not just material things that people think are broken. People themselves can be regarded as broken and useless. They're cast away as well. And the world sees brokenness today as a weakness in a person. If you're not successful, if you're not strong, if you're not standing on your own two feet, then you're not worth much. Yet God sees brokenness as the very thing that's useful and valuable, because he sees it as a strength, not a weakness in our life. Brokenness is what God uses when he wants to bring out fruit in a person's life. And Jesus showed us that truth. In John 12:24, he said, "Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it bideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Now, our text this afternoon, and just before we read that, we let's see what the Lord had been doing. In chapter 14, we have the story. Remember, John the Baptist, he's beheaded. And we see the story there. It goes on to Jesus feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus is walking on water, and they come to the land of Gennesaret in verse 34 there. And when the men of the place had knowledge of him, when they'd heard about Jesus and they heard he was in town, they brought all the people who were sick to him, and they wanted them all to be healed. And all they asked of the Lord was to let them touch him, and all who touched him were made whole. And then in chapter 15, we see Jesus, he's attacked by the scribes and Pharisees. He leaves there. He goes to the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, to Tyre and Sidon. He heals a woman of Canaan's daughter, verses 22 to 28. Then in verse 29, it tells us Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into the mountain and sat down there. Man, talk about a busy person. You know, he was always on the go, always on the go. But what happens when he sits down? Look at verse 30. And great multitudes came to him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. You know, all these people had one thing in common. They were broken. They were broken physically, majority of them, but more than likely, nearly all of them were probably broken spiritually. They all needed one thing, and that's the healing of the Lord. They needed to be put right in their physical bodies and their spiritual lives. And after Jesus sits down and all these people there, we're told in verse 38, 4,000 of them, as well as women and children, they come to him and they come with broken lives. And in verse 32, Jesus called his disciples unto him and he said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. 3 days, these people are walking around in the wilderness with the Lord. They're listening to him, and their food's all but run out. And this is a hungry crowd, and they're not just hungry spiritually, and I'd say they were hungry spiritually because they've hung around for 3 days without hardly anything to eat, listening to someone preach. And if they weren't being fed spiritually, they wouldn't have hung around there. But they were, but they're also now hungry physically. So Jesus is here. He's getting ready to meet that need as well. Now, he could have called down manna from heaven if he wanted to. He could have turned the stones into bread. But what does Jesus say to his disciples? He says, I'm not going to send them away. I've got compassion on them. I will not send them away fasting. He says, I'm not going to let them go hungry. What can we give them to eat? Jesus asked his disciples that question. And the disciples said in verse 33, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? So they're saying to the Lord, well, what can we do about it? We don't have enough bread here to feed all these people. Nowhere near enough. And Jesus says to them in verse 34, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and fishes, gave thanks, broke them, gave to his disciples, the disciples to the multitude, and they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full, and they did eat with 4,000 men beside women and children. We looked at that last week, remember? And Jesus says to me here in this passage of Scripture, he's saying, listen, let me have what you've got. You give me what you've got. And Jesus takes that, he broke the food, and he gives it back to his disciples, and everyone had their fill. And what was left? 7 baskets. Now the word baskets there is spurios, and that means a woven work. So these baskets, they would have gotten flax or something like that, reeds, and they would have stripped them and rubbed stones along them to make them pliable, and they weave these big baskets. The same sort of basket they used to lower Paul down over the wall when he was escaping. Now, large baskets, they were big enough you could even put people into them. They were very strong. Now, the lesson for us to learn here is that we are in a world that's starving. A world that cannot satisfy a person's heart. It's not large enough to do that. You see, God's an infinite God. And man's heart was made for the purpose of God to dwell in it. And only he can fill the void in a man's heart. Only he can satisfy the hearts of people. And the world we live in today, it's starving. It wants power. This world wants wealth. This world is not satisfied unless it's being entertained. There's a lust for pleasure. Never like there has been before. Yet none of those things ever fills a person's heart completely. And the Lord is saying to this starving, barren world, I'm going to have compassion on them. I'm not going to send them away. I'm not going to send them away fasting. You disciples, give me what you've got, and then I'll give them something to eat. And just like the disciples, we say, well, where are we going to get enough to feed them? And Jesus says to us, you'll have enough if only you're prepared to give it to me and let me share it. See, the disciples had their fill of food. They had the 7 loaves and the few fish. And we say just like them, Lord, we've got so little, what are we going to do? What can we do? And Jesus then brings our heart to a very deep truth, and we need to hear it from the Word of God. He says, you just give me your little, I'm going to break it up for you, I'm going to give it back to you, and then I'm going to return so you can give it to others, and I'll return back to you 100-fold. Matthew 15:36, he took the 7 loaves of the fishes, gave thanks and broke it, gave the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 basketfuls. Do we see how it works? We give ourselves and what we have to our Lord. He takes that little, he increases that, then we take it to others, and we are enriched and blessed in our lives beyond what we could ever imagine. See, it's not about what we have, it's about what we're prepared to surrender to Him. That's what counts in our lives. See, we cannot give a thing to this dying world until we have completely surrendered and given ourselves over to our Lord and Savior. You think of all the people in the world today who are hungry and thirsty for the truth. And they're dying every day, every moment. Why? Because they haven't heard the truth about Jesus Christ. What do? They turn to pleasure. They turn to lust. They go to false religions. They're trying to fill a need. They're trying to satisfy themselves. And my question is, can we hear the cry? Can we hear them crying for the truth? Crying for Jesus, the only one who can satisfy them, yet they don't know it yet. They don't know it. That's what they're calling out for. That's the desire of their heart, is to be filled and satisfied, but only God can fill it. Now, the world is full of fake healers, trying to give potions and ideas that they promise this, they promise that. Yet people, what do? They're becoming hungrier and their hearts are becoming emptier. Preachers who try to satisfy with a social gospel and good works, philosophies, and they're still crying out, we're hungry, give us something to fill us. And we Christians who have the truth of Jesus are the only ones who have anything that can once and for all fill those starving souls. Now, first point, we see some broken loaves. Jesus asked the disciples, he says, how many loaves have you got? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he took the 7 loaves and fishes, he gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. See the order? The loaves were the disciples until the Lord needed them. Until he needed them. Are we going to give our loaves to him? We have a life, but that life does not belong to us alone. We belong to him. 1 Corinthians 6:19 is very clear. And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Are we going to let the Lord have our life? He's asking for it. He's calling to us, but are we going to let him break it up and feed those who are dying from a lack of knowing who he is? You know, we've hoped to give our lives to good careers, to prosperous ones even. We give our lives to education. We're ready to make a life. The world does offer success and money and pleasure. The world offers a name for ourselves. But Jesus says to the believer, I want your life. I want you sold out for me. I want to use it in the ministry. I want to use your life in missions. I want to use your life in the church that you go to. But to do that, he's got to break up our plans and our dreams. And Jesus says, let me have it. And unfortunately, we say, well, what will I have for myself? And the Lord gives the answer. If you're ready to give your all for those who are lost and dying, I'm going to take care of you. And we could bring in countless good missionaries and Christians who have given their all to Christ, and he has never, ever let them down. Never. He has given them clothes on their back, a roof over their head, and food on their table. They're not boasters or proud of themselves. They're just surrendered and been broken and given themselves to him. Jesus says, I'll take care of you. I'll break you, and you give your bread to those I died to save, and I will take care of you, full stop. See, Jesus wants the broken lows of our lives. In other words, he wants our talent. He wants our education. He wants us to say, Lord, all that I am, all that I have, here it is, it's now yours. My hands are off it. Use it, give it back, and I'll give it to others. Now, God has given some people more loaves than others. And in this country, we're blessed with riches, we're blessed with material things. Listen, we thank God as we eat off the fat of the land. We praise him as we eat our dinner. And one man put it like this, we butter our bread while millions of others starve for the bread of life. See, we may have thanked God for what he has given to us, but have we heard the call of God on our life to take that and give it to others? Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Let me tell you, God will never let you down the moment you surrender to him. Never will he watch you go by the way. Oh, it'll be tough. You'll be wondering sometimes how to rub two pennies together, but there'll always be his supply on your table, taking care of you. And we should just ask him and put into his hand the few loaves that we have and say, Lord, break them. Break them. May we be broken for the need of the lost souls of this world. See, we confess with our mouths, we believe that man is lost, don't we? Without Christ, then if they die like that, well, they're going to spend eternity in hell. We talk about it all the time. There's book after book written about it. And then so little is done about it. So little is done about it. We do enough at times to feel good within ourselves. But the question is, are we prepared to just hand over and allow the Lord to break us? Are we prepared to do that? No, many say, and I've said it myself, oh, you don't know my circumstances. Oh, if I had more, I'd give more. If I had some more, I'd share some more. If only I had more time, I could do some more. Guess what? God's given us all the time in the world to do what he wants us to do. And the question is, would we? If he did it, would we do it? Let me ask, what do we do with our time now? What are we doing with our witness to those who are poor? What do we do with our giving out of all the Lord gives us? Oh, if only. Well, God is asking for broken loaves. He's asking for broken hearts. He's asking for broken men and women. He's also asking for broken youth and children. Broken from selfishness, broken from greed, broken from laziness. People who have been broken and awakened to the fullness of life that comes from living out and out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him have whatever he asks. We need to say with the hymn writer, the solid rock, we all know that hymn, don't we? My hope is built on nothing less than blood, and I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Christ, all other ground sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Broken loaves. Next one is a broken body. 1 Corinthians 11:24. We read it this morning. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance for me. You know, this is what Jesus said when he took supper with his disciples. Listen, have you ever noticed in the Bible, and it's getting clearer to me every day, and sometimes we struggle with it, is the fact that Jesus never asks us to do anything that he hasn't done or that he can give us the strength to do. Have you noticed that? Not a thing in there. See, we may be thinking, oh man, this is a bit too tough. This is too hard to just give myself over to Jesus and be used from him. Well, listen, one look at the cross of Christ should stop all the complaining in our lives, because it was upon the cross he took our place. We deserve to be there, not him, but he took it for us. He paid the price for our sin, and it wasn't just for us, it was because of us. He was the sin bearer of the whole world. And it was sin that broke things. Listen, if sin had never come into the world, we'd be rejoicing in paradise, amen? But it did. And what came with it was death. Broken promises, broken lives, broken homes, broken marriages. But what is broken can be overruled and used by God to glorify his ways, because he sent his son into this world to be broken so all of those things could be healed. Now, some 2,000 years ago, give or take some, he came and he started a work of redemption, a work that was not completed fully, yet one day will be finished forever. We're fully saved, but we'll know the fullness of our salvation when we get to glory. When he puts all things under his feet and he makes all things new. And well, I mean, sin has been dealt with, the price has been stayed, but listen, there's still a lot of brokenness in this world that in the world to come is not going to have a place, amen? Not one place at all. And what are we going to do? Because as I said this morning, it's a son question. What are we going to do with Jesus? What are we prepared to do for him after what he's done for us? You see, his body wasn't only a spiritual breaking. He suffered a physical breaking as well. He was broken when they scourged him. He was broken when they put a crown of thorns on his head. He was broken when they drove the nails into his body. And the evidence that his heart was broken was when they pierced him with a spear, blood and water gushed out together. That's the sign of a heart that's blown up. Broken for you and me. Can we picture him as we had the Lord's table this morning with the bread in his hands? He's going, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And today he's only asking that we be broken for him. And the question that came to my heart as I was studying this, is that too much for him to ask of me? Is it too much for him to ask, just be broken for me, Dennis? Paul said it right when he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. The least we should do. See, our Savior's asking us, he's saying, listen, just give me the few, just give me the little bits that you have, and I'll increase them and give them back so you can use it for my glory to share with others. And we can't get away from the command of Mark 16:15, which tells us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, God can't use us, we can't be instruments for him until our hearts have been broken by a sorrow for our sins and our lives by suffering. You know, the one blessing of our lives, and my wife and I have stood on it our whole time as Christians, is that God alone is the only one who can't break a promise. The only one. And he wants us to claim that promise. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You know, Psalm 34:19 tells us, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver him out of them all. All of them. And the question is, are we ready to be broken? Are we ready to place ourselves in his hand? Are we ready to allow him to break us? And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. The Lord, the deeper we look, the deeper we see just what you have done for us. We see that today there are many, Lord, who need what we have. And you have left us here on this earth after being saved to be your instrument to meet that need. Help us, Heavenly Father, to recognize it. Help us not to make excuses, but to hand ourselves over to you and allow you to have your way with us, Lord, so that you are magnified and we are blessed knowing that we have pleased you, that we have honored you, and that one day you will honor us with your presence in glory. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.